Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Labatt Studio. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Andy, you want to finish it?
Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light.
You got it down.
There
perfect.
You go.
All right. I'm Jim Galante. I'm here with Dustin Hawkinsmith and Andy Shea. How you doing, guys?
We're good.
Better than I'm seeing you, Jim. Also better than I just get to sit here and you get to do all that stuff.
I get to do all the work. However, you, Dusty, and you, Andy, get to fill the shoes of Bob and Ross. That's a difficult task.
So we're going to do Ask Ross later. It's going to be... I'll just warn you, you're going to be disappointed right off the bat. It's going to be Andy and I.
Yeah, we'll answer the questions. We'll be fine. But we won't beat you up as bad, listener. We won't say, that's not a good question.
Now, see, I'm going to call it an audible, though. It's going to be called the Ask Andy and Dusty segment. How was that?
There you go.
Pretty creative?
Yep.
All right. But before we get to that in quarter number one, we're going to take a look back at that Citrus Bowl game. I know you guys have a lot to talk about with that. Quarter number two, and how about this for creativity? Instead of Tucker's tape, we're going to have Andy and Dusty's tape.
We're on.
And you're ready for that, Andy?
Yep, we're ready.
All right. And then we're going to take one last look at the Citrus Bowl in quarter number four after doing the aforementioned Ask Dusty and Andy. All right. You ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
We're going to talk Citrus Bowl.
27-24 Kentucky.
That's your thought on the game?
That's my...
initial thought.
My initial thought on the game is it was a rare instance under James Franklin where I think... you can say they truly did beat themselves. That was my biggest takeaway. He mentioned as well that the same stuff that dogged him for 12 games dogged him into game 13. Drop passes, just gosh awful special teams. Just awful special teams planning process. I thought their identity as an offense was a mystery to me through the first half. I thought defensively, 85 yards on 25 plays. I thought the defense played pretty well, put in bad situations. Ultimately, they couldn't come up with a stop at the end in the four-minute drill because, oh, by the way, the other team's really good at what they do. But I still thought defensively that this defense for Penn State is going somewhere really special with the young players that they have. And I think the loss of Robert Windsor to a suspension for the entire game and Cam Brown being appropriately removed for targeting in the third quarter for what was clearly targeting had an impact down the stretch, and I have no idea why Penn State did not go for the win at the end and gave Kentucky back the momentum when they had taken it from them because Kentucky thought the game was over in the third quarter when they went up 27-20. And I... no, it's really hard to get momentum, and I don't know why you handed it back to them. But they beat themselves. They really did. They were the better team that lost.
And that was going to be my question for you, Dusty. I think you look at that and you say Penn State better team than Kentucky. With that simplistic overview, do you lay this in the lap of the coaches, this loss?
Well, I think just the lack of progress in the couple hot spots, the couple key areas, you know, to make all those special teams mistakes, to have been given, you know, 3-4 extra weeks to work on things that needed to be worked on and still drop passes. Yeah, I think the fake punt early, I don't think there's a good way to explain that for me to buy into that. You can take or leave the field goal at the end. I think you convinced me to leave it instead of take it when we recorded the earlier show about this. But yeah, I think coaching and lack of development in some of those areas specifically really hurt Penn State in this game. And I think that's the most discouraging thing is that these issues that have been issues for a long time. You had a chance to self-scout, self-evaluate, get to work, figure out what to do, and there was no change whatsoever. So that's the thing that I think I would have disappointed me the most in this game.
Well, let's start with what I think is the most consistently disappointing part, which is the special teams. And you look at it, there were missed field goals. There was the failed fake punt. There was giving up the touchdown on the punt return.
Kickoff out of bounds.
Kickoff out
of bounds.
That
drives me nuts.
Yes, it's just free yards you're giving up. Do we lay this all at the feet of the special teams coach? When it happens, if it happens once in a while, you say, oh, the kicker made a mistake, the snapper made a mistake. But when it's this consistent all season long, where else can you lay it except at the coach?
I think that's a wonderful starting point. It also makes you think, okay, if you're James Franklin, you're the big picture guy, you're the game manager, why would you, under these circumstances, call for your special teams to win you the game? Are you not in a position as James Franklin for you to be like that third phase? Just don't lose me this game.
Just don't lose me.
So the fake punt early puts the strain on the defense. It gives momentum and a short field to a Kentucky offense that you knew for 60 minutes was not going to be able to beat you consistently. Why gift them points right off the bat? And then, as I said before, you know, if you're going to be the guy who calls a fake punt on the first drive of the game on your side of the field, you should be the guy who goes for the first down, goes for the touchdown instead of kicking a field goal late. And it just makes you question, speaking of coaching, you know, what's James Franklin's identity as a game manager? I don't think he knows what it is yet.
I couldn't agree more, because I think he's a product of himself. As a game manager and coach, because he's very detail oriented, very prepared. He has a plan for everything. But Saturday between the lines for that 60 minutes is not. Yes, the planning and preparation matters, but that becomes a freewheeling free for all. You know, the decision to sit Trace or let Trace go back in the game, that's on the fly. You know, the decision to go for it on fourth down is you have a feel for who you are and what you are. And the lack of that caused him to make a decision where he handed momentum back. I don't think he's a bad coach on Saturday. I just think Saturday is his weakness. In between the lines during the game is his weakness as a coach and as the head of the program. And if that's sort of the only thing, because he's recruiting so much good talent and he's developing it, I think you can cover that up. But we talk about players taking another step, right? We talk about their development. Let's talk about the coaching staff developing a little bit. Why don't we? Let's talk about Ricky Ronnie. Let's talk about his identity of his offense. Coaching 13 games is different than coaching one game. This is his first year. You know, the honeymoon's over, but I think he deserves a little rope. But we also should hold him to a higher standard of taking at least one or two steps forward, because I thought with 3 weeks we would see something different in week 13 at the Citrus Bowl. Instead, I thought I saw a step backwards as a coordinator moving this offense with what they have forward. And I don't think he took a step forward at any point this year to a degree at all, despite having number 9 at the quarterback. And the number 9 at the quarterback position might have made this better than it should have really looked. But we talk about development. He needs to develop. And they have to fire the special teams coach. I'm sorry. I'm not a headhunter, but he's got a goal.
All right. You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Dusty, let's go a little bit further on this coaching and coaching development and the identity of the team. Let's offensively, are they missing an identity? Are they missing a plan that matches up with their team? You knew who Kentucky was. That was very obvious. Did you know what Penn State's identity was on offense based on this game?
Well, let's put yourself in the shoes of a defensive coordinator getting ready for Penn State. What's the one thing you'd take away? There isn't.
Yeah.
And so And part of the reason why I agree that there's pressure on Ricky Ronnie to grow and develop, and they need to develop an identity. But I also think that mathematically, if your perimeter threats cannot gain any separation and do not require any help from safeties ever at all, it puts you behind the eight ball in your offense. And if those guys are dropping passes, then in addition to not getting separation, you're behind the eight ball as a coordinator. You know, we talked about, late in the game against Kentucky, you saw Penn State really start to unleash Trace McSorley. I think, it's almost calling plays in a game is almost like starting pitcher in baseball. You're concerned about getting through the turns in the lineup. You're concerned about minutes 1 through 60. You're concerned about getting different pieces involved, saving this, saving that, not showing everything right away. I think pacing is kind of part of it. He's got to learn that nuance of the position, and he's young and still, I know he's called some games in the past, never on a week to week basis. You got to see more growth out of him. The identity of the offense is going to have to come, but I think it's way too early to judge that because of all the stuff that Penn State was dealing with. They were just not an effective offense. I know they scored points, but boy, it felt like they should have scored a lot more.
Yeah, it always felt like they were – they have some pieces and parts, but they could never get those pieces and parts fully unleashed. Even though Miles Sanders was really good, they never really – did it differently. They sort of did it how, like, it looked the same in September as it did in January, right?
Yeah.
They never really sort of adjusted fire and changed, their horse for lack of a better term, they never became a different horse for a different course. They were just going to stick to what they were. And there is merit in being who you are, but if in being who you are sort of looks like a mishmash that's easy to coordinate against and game plan for, then you got to start doing it differently. And they had weapons to unleash. 24, Miles Sanders. Number 1, KJ Hambler. Number 87, Pat Freiermuth. Yes, they are not Gesicki and Barkley and Deshaun Hamilton. But they're not limited players either, right?
I'd rather go out erring on the side of overusing my playmakers as opposed to underusing them. 2 offensive touches for KJ Hamler. It's just nowhere near enough. I don't care what the game flow is. I don't care what the looks are from the other team. It's my best versus your best at the end of the day. And if I didn't put my team in the best position by getting my best player the ball, then I think that's on me. And certainly with KJ Hamler, that was the case. And then late in the game, I'm making the transition to buying into – I'm anti-field goal now. As pro field goal, I'm anti-field goal now. Again, Trace McSorley just didn't have a shot at the end, didn't get to touch the ball again.
I'm glad we convinced you, Dusty. That concludes quarter number 1. That went fast. Stay tuned for quarter number 2. It's Andy and Dusty's tape. We're going to talk more about the Citrus Bowl.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.